Welcome to All Things Policy, a daily podcast by the Takshashila Institution. We are a bunch of policy nerds based in Bengaluru, and we like bringing fresh perspectives to Indian affairs and Indian perspectives to global affairs. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and join us for today's chat.
Hi, and welcome to All Things Policy. I'm your host, Shambhavi Naik. Today, we are going to talk about something extremely important, which is SPR. So prices for oil futures has been falling, and therefore creating a strategic petroleum reserve is on high radar for a lot of countries. However, that is not what we're going to talk about today at all. Instead, we're going to talk about another strategic reserve, which is of extreme importance, which is the PPE plus ventilator reserve. And to discuss that with me today, I have Sarthak and Sunila. Hello, Sarthak and Sunila.
Hi, Shambhavi.
Hi.
Let's talk about why we need to even have a strategic reserve of PPE, of ventilators. Clearly, this pandemic has brought out the scarcity that we have. Countries around the world and India are struggling to make sure that healthcare workers have enough PPE, that patients have ventilators, whoever needs them has ventilators. So, Sarah, can you talk to us a bit about having PPE shortages?
So, hi, Shambhavi. So, to deal with this pandemic, we require a reserve of PPE. We require PPE, different kind of PPE. For example, coveralls, N95 masks, surgical masks. Now, how do we ensure that the disease is not spread from one person to another? Also, we have to ensure that those who are the frontline workers, including the health workers, they are also protected while they continue providing the different services they provide. So for that, we need it. But what we have observed is we do not have sufficient amount of these things. And this is not something unique to India. China, US, Italy, all these countries which have been impacted by this pandemic, they have also faced the scarcity, and something we are also experiencing right now. Now, at present, we have the scarcity, and there is also a fear that we might again face the second wave of this infection. So we need to be prepared for all these kind of eventualities. So we need to create a stockpile which has surgical masks, N95 masks, coveralls, and gloves. So that's it.
Right. So if I understand correctly, the U.S., we hear a lot about the U.S. stockpile, and the ventilators that they have. So the U.S. stockpile actually began as the strategic national stockpile back in 1999. It started as a national pharma stockpile. The first injection of funds was of about $51 million, and that was mainly focused on vaccines and antitoxins. In 2003, it was renamed as the Strategic National Stockpile. And it was only in 2005 that the Bush administration started adding PPE into the stockpile. In the first round they bought, Congress approved the buying of 52 million surgical masks and 104 million N95 masks. At the beginning of 2020, I think from figures that we have, they had about 13 million N95 masks, and obviously they are still now finding shortages. They expect that the stockpile will only cater to about 1% of the requirement for this pandemic. So when we start thinking about stockpiles, obviously there's one component which is basically what you need to have, like a base amount in the cupboard, but also an increase in manufacturing capacity. And India, I think, can do improvements in both of those areas, correct?
Correct. So, as you have correctly pointed out, we need to have some of these things in the buffers, but also in case there is a pandemic or in case there is a situation like this, you will be using that stockpile. So, continuously, you have to keep on filling the stockpile. So getting the reserves right and also refilling these reserves has to be our criteria. So our manufacturing capacity, if you observe, has not been in sync with the demand right now. Right now, we require N95 specifically for the health workers. We have shortage of that. When it comes to surgical masks, there is a shortage. Right now, we are trying to revamp it. And when it comes to coveralls, in the last few months, we have been trying to get different textile manufacturers to do it. But yes, manufacturing capacity is something which is going to be a major bottleneck, and we need to resolve it.
So about the manufacturing capacity, I guess up till now, that is before the pandemic started, India was mostly dependent on imports for the PPE. So obviously, the manufacturing companies in India were caught off guard when they were told to produce PPE in large quantities. But I guess India is picking up now, and as per the recent news reports, India is producing like 1 lakh PPE kits per day. So I guess India is going in the right direction.
India has picked up in the last few weeks, but we need to be doing much more than that. Also, we need to keep one thing in mind, that the government has introduced certain policies at different points of time, which might have acted as disincentives for manufacturers to produce more. For example, we had imposed price controls on N95. So when the manufacturers, they do not get the right price, so they will not be producing sufficient. So that those kind of issues were there. But we definitely need to increase our manufacturing capacity. Whatever is there needs to be ramped up more. So how do we ramp up? Again, there can be different suggestions, different ways this can be done.
So let's just go through each of the different things separately, because I assume that the certifications you need, the kind of raw materials you need for each of the components of PPE will be different. I also read about this that back in Jan-Feb, when a lot of the other countries had policies banning the export of PPE and PPE raw materials, India still continued exporting raw materials. We banned, I think, N95 masks at the end of January. The export of N95 mask, but other PPE as well as the raw materials still continued. So obviously that has now caused some shortages. But let's go through them one by one, right? Let's start with like the N95 mask, which everybody is familiar with. What kind of issues happened there?
N95 masks give you the maximum protection from these kind of infectious diseases. It filters 95% of the particles. Now, the problem with manufacturing N95 mask in India is we do not have the raw material that is used for making these masks. It has multiple layers, and one of the layer consists of non-woven polypropylene fabric. That fabric is not manufactured in India in large numbers, and very few manufacturers are there. So we have to depend on imports for this. And again, one of the major importer of this is China. As China was facing the pandemic threat, so many of the factories shut down over there, and also whatever factories were operating, they were catering to the local demand. So as a result of which, we found it difficult to get this fabric. And if you're not able to get this fabric, you will not be able to manufacture this mask. So with N95, this was the major challenge. If you are able to procure this particular fabric, then you have manufacturers who can stitch it up and create these masks. In fact, even if you do not have sufficient number of mask manufacturers, you can use the capacity of textile manufacturers, shoe manufacturers, in some cases, even the automobile manufacturers can also do it. So the fabric was the main bottleneck when it comes to N95.
I was reading about Venus, which is a local manufacturer for N95 mask, and they were saying about how, and I think this was early April, that their capacity currently is 50,000 masks a day. Which is pretty small. And obviously the bigger manufacturers, such as 3M, their capacity gets divided across the world, which is another problem, right? Because this is a very competitive market currently, and international players obviously are paying much, much higher for the masks than we can.
True. So that is the reason we need to incentivize importers. We need to ensure that we have the fabric imported, the melt woven fabric imported in India, and ensure other manufacturers take it up. So how do we incentivize the manufacturers here? So maybe we can have assured purchase agreements from the side of the government that we are going to pay you this much for the mask for till this duration, maybe for next 6 months or maybe till next 1 year. So if the prices are decided beforehand, and again, this should be such that it is not a disincentive, you're not selling below the market price. So if you ensure that, manufacturers will be incentivized, they will find out their own ways, maybe they will have a higher number of shifts, they will employ more number of workers, and that way, automatically the supply chain will fall in place and we'll have more number of N95 masks. But ensure that you don't have any price controls.
Right, and I guess that's where a longer term contract, even to fill up the strategic reserve, might be useful, because it's kind of like an advance purchase agreement where people are told that we need to have so much stock, so you have to make.
Yes.
You have a ready buyer then. So that was about the N95 masks. Then we have the coveralls, which is the actual PPE. So that is obviously a huge problem, because quality is also extremely important. And it again has to be non-woven fabric, if I get it correct.
Yes. And again, it's not just the fabric, the way it is stitched together. So for that, again, you have certain technologies, which is called the hot air seam sealing technology. So you have specific machines which do that. It ensures that fluids do not pass through that particular coverall. So when it comes to coverall, this is one major challenge. We do not have sufficient number of hot air seam sealing machines. So it is estimated that we require some 300 more machines. Right now we have around 150 machines. And apart from that, fabric is also something which is difficult. And on top of it, these particular coveralls need to be tested, accredited before they are sold or given to the public. So for that also, we need to have more number of testing facilities. So till last few weeks, we only had one testing facility in Coimbatore. Now we have increased to three. Yeah, in Coimbatore. Now we have two more testing facilities. But we need to ramp up this thing as well. Have to ensure that these kind of devices are imported, incentivize imports of this, maybe provide cheaper loans or reduce the import duties, etc. And textile manufacturers can take up the remaining part.
So besides the import barriers for PPE production, I guess the local manufacturers, they are also facing problems such as procuring the raw materials for the production. And that is due to the bottlenecks in the domestic supply chain as well. So while we need to focus on keeping the international supply chains open, we also need to focus on domestic as well. Because then the local manufacturers, they cannot efficiently produce these items. Also, there are the problems of employees being scared to come for work. So they need to incentivize their employees as well.
Right. So in the short term, we need to make measures to make sure that manufacturers can ramp up capacity and have everything, all the resources that they need in a safe environment so that that happens. And then in the longer term, we need to make sure that we have enough of incentives for people to keep on manufacturing to at least build a stockpile and be prepared for further waves of the infection. Okay. So that was N95 and PPE. Now, let's get back to ventilators, which seem to be a problem everywhere across the world.
Ventilators have been the problem everywhere. So in US, in Italy, in China, everywhere. Ventilators are those devices which assist in the breathing process. And again, these are used for patients who are in extremely critical situation, and a patient might require it for extended durations, maybe for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And in case the ventilators are not there, it can lead to extreme level of fatalities. So we have been facing shortages of ventilators. We have seen these incidents in Italy. Now US is also facing the similar kind of challenges. So ventilators have been a major issue.
Right. And I'm assuming that it's easier for textile manufacturers to start doing mask making, but how easy is it for other sectors to take up ventilators?
See, right now we have some medical device manufacturers who make ventilators, but again, the numbers are less than 10 right now, single digits. So some suggest that we should be using the capacity of the automobile manufacturers to ramp up ventilator production. And in fact, GM and other automobile manufacturers, they have started doing it in other parts of the world. In India also, Mahindra and all these organizations, they came up with the idea of manufacturing ventilators. But one thing has to be kept in mind that for manufacturing medical devices, you have to follow strict standards. The amount of precision that is required is high, and they have to be extremely reliable. Automobile manufacturers might face difficulties here. On top of that, the kind of licenses that is required for manufacturing medical equipment and the kind of licenses that is required by automobile manufacturers, they are different. So many of these automobile manufacturers might not have the licenses. But one advantage that we have here is automobile manufacturers have the assembly line capacity, and some of them also have finances to make these things. So somewhere we have to find a middle way. So there can be some sort of collaboration between them. So the medical manufacturers ensure that the strict standards, the stringent standards are followed, and the assembly line capacity of the automobile manufacturer, the finances of these manufacturers can be used together. So maybe we can have an industry consortium kind of thing, which has both these kind of manufacturers together.
So now we are saying that we need to have a strategic stockpile of at least these three things. It makes sense because getting manufacturing capacity up and manufacturing them under the scenario of a pandemic is and constrained supply chains is difficult. So it makes sense that we have at least something in the cupboard to begin with. And then we also have the identification of manufacturers who can actually quickly ramp up capacity again if we need it. These three things also have pretty long shelf lives. So storing them, buying them now and storing them actually makes kind of a sense. But two big questions then are, who buys, who creates this stockpile? Should a strategic stockpile be at the national level? Should it be at the state level? And where do we store them? Where do we place the cupboard?
See, I think it should be created at the national level. So maybe the central government should be procuring it. And given the kind of finances they have, given the kind of might they have, they should be creating it. And this strategic stockpile can be used to also address the demand supply mismatch or the capacity mismatch between the states. The strategic stockpile need not necessarily be located at one place. It should be distributed throughout the states. So whenever you face these kind of crisis situations, maybe a pandemic or maybe anything else, so what will happen is supply chains will most likely get disrupted. So if you are centralizing the location of the stockpile, then it will become very difficult. Transportation, logistics, all these things become difficult. So store it at different places, but it should be maintained or administered by the center. It will be easier for you to procure things. It will be easier to keep a tab on all these things. And at the same time, you need to have a kind of protocol or you need to have some standards that it is in these kind of situations that these kind of stock, this particular stockpile should be used. And again, so if you have these kind of standards, it will ensure that there is no differential treatment between states. Objective circumstances are there. On the basis of that, you are using it.
So I think this procurement of the PPE and other medical equipment should be left to the states. First of all, health is a state subject, right? So I think it interferes with the state's autonomy as well. And the center can set up national guidelines and ensure that the states follow it. So that problem can be solved then. If it is about maintaining the standards for production and testing of people.
I am of the view that states can have their own, they can have their own capacities, they can have it, but when are we using this stockpile? When we are having a major crisis where large number of states are impacted, large number of areas are impacted. So this, I feel this kind of crisis will be more severe and it might, and here you have to take a stance whether this particular region should be provided or this particular region should be provided. So I feel the kind of exigency that is there is different. There's no harm in states also procuring, states also preparing their best for a particular situation. But the kind of stockpile that we are talking about, the strategic stockpile we are talking about, it is for a more grave situation, I would say.
Right. I'm actually of the view that we need stockpiles at both levels. Obviously, like you said, money would be a constraining factor. But I think all states should have some capacity of storage built in. Again, we spoke, like you said, about the supply chains and how domestic supply chains have become constrained, and therefore having them within the state makes it a little more easier to at least start with the process of containment and recovery. And then obviously at the national level, have a stockpile which it's at a really massive scale. The other thing I think we should also consider when we think about stockpiles and building capacity is that if we have a global pandemic like the one we see now, we would also, I guess, like to be the next big supplier of these products, because there is a global demand. And one of the reasons we saw these shortages was because China was the first country to be hit and had shut down its supply chains for some point of time. And obviously, if we could be the replacement for that, at even partially, then that's a great incentive for us to build up our capacity here, not just for the national health point of view, but even from an economic point of view, right?
Correct. So it can be part of our economic reconstruction plan. So healthcare infrastructure or medical devices manufacturing, all these things can create a massive number of jobs. And so it's a fair point.
Yeah, so India has placed an order of 15 million PPE kits from China, right? And China has also donated like 170,000 PPE kits to India. So how do you think, why do you think China is able to get back to producing on such a large scale when it was hit badly by the crisis. So what can India learn from China?
Well, I think the level of manufacturing that China has and the models that they have created around manufacturing hubs, which are like a standalone hub where you everything you need for manufacturing that particular product, all the supply chains are kind of all streamlined. We need to kind of have that model so that hub actually can work independently for and could be restarted independently so that most critical supply chains do not get impacted. So in that way, I think India can start looking at manufacturing sector as a kickstart to the economy as well as a incentive for us to work towards better economic growth.
Yeah, so see, in case of China, many places they have already recovered from the impact of the virus. So factories have started working. On top of that, they don't have any issue when it comes, at least they have lesser issue as compared to India when it comes to the different kind of raw materials that are required. So these are going to be the challenges for us. On top of that, we have to ensure that our different policies that we have do not impose different kind of price caps. If you have price caps, for example, in case of India, we have price caps as perhaps on medical devices. All these becomes disincentives for the manufacturers. So we have to ensure that the policies are in sync. Then only we will be able to ramp up the facilities for manufacturing.
Right. But if we don't have price caps, how do we ensure that people are able to afford buying, say, for example, N95?
So instead of distorting the entire market by price caps, what you can do is provide targeted benefits to those who are not able to afford it. So maybe the poor people, they are not able to afford it. So provide them directly those masks or provide them different kind of support so that they can purchase the masks rather than distorting the entire market. If you put a price cap, what will happen? The manufacturers are not having the incentive, so they will stop manufacturing. Or they will move out to some other sector or they will start manufacturing something else which does not have the price caps. So overall, there will be a scarcity. And if there is scarcity, there will be black hoarding, there will be black marketing, hoarding and all these things. So eventually, no one is going to get benefited because of that.
And again, I think that's where the strategic stockpile might actually be useful because you are buying at volume, you're buying in advance, and you're actually even incentivized manufacturing. So which means you're helping manufacturers with at least some of the initial cost that they would have. And so that should all actually impact the price point at which they sell. So at least back into the strategic stockpile. So that should all actually help keep prices at a level which is cheaper than the panic buying and the panic supply chain setups that we have seen currently. Right. So that should also feed in that. So thank you, guys. I'm hoping that we have convinced our listeners that perhaps as important as petroleum is going to be us making this other strategic reserve. Thank you for joining me today and thank you for listening, everybody.
If you liked our show, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can tune into them on the IVM Podcast app, ivmpodcast.com, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also follow IVM on social media. The handle is @IVMPodcasts on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And hey, if you'd like to dive into Takshashila's research on technology, strategy, and economic affairs, check us out at our Twitter handle @TakshashilaInst or our website, takshashila.org.in.